Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behind the badge.
It's Dave Plyer on 720 WGN. For true fans of rock and roll, it's hard to imagine a time when Kiss didn't exist. Inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2014, the band is celebrating 45 years on the planet, entertaining generations of fans. Known as rock's ultimate showman, Gene Simmons co-founded the hard rock supergroup Kiss in the early 1970s. And since then, Kiss has sold more than 80 million albums, awarded over 30 gold records, and performed more than 2,000 shows around the world. Late last year, Gene's new 10-CD box set, The Vault, was released and spans from 66 to 2016 with 150 songs that have never been released. Also, a career-spanning single-disc best-of Kiss World was released to coincide with a massive world tour. Gene sang the lead vocals on hits like Rock and Roll All Night, Calling Dr. Love, and A World Without Heroes. And now, out of makeup, Simmons is embarking on his first-ever solo tour with a red-hot backing band to perform some high-octane rock hits, and will be performing at the iconic Arcata Theater in St. Charles on Thursday, May 3rd. And joining us to talk about it all is rock and roll legend Gene Simmons. Gene, welcome in, my friend.
Boy, do I feel better. What a build-up. Unbelievable.
What a career, man. I mean, seriously.
I feel like kind of a big deal now.
You are a big deal. Are you kidding me? You're a big deal. Well,
wow.
I got to tell you, I was reading, you know, you're going back on tour with Kiss in July, and this appearance here in Chicago, you've got your own band, you're going to play some hits, but, you know, this is an opportunity also to hear some uniquely obscure stuff as well.
The Gene Simmons Band started kind of as a, you know, life happens to you while you're busy making plans. I was a keynote speaker at a convention in Vancouver called YPO. And so they said, listen, you're going to be speaking, and there are kind of important people there, Prime Minister Trudeau and all kinds of, you know, cool people. Mm-hmm. Would you mind getting up on stage and singing a few tunes? And I explained, you know, it's not as easy as that. You got to put a band together and all that, and you guys can't afford Kiss, so I don't know what I can do. Well, they said, listen, here's X amount of dollars. And I said, sure. So I called some pals in Nashville. And we put together a band over the phone and without rehearsing. I told them which tunes I want to play. Without rehearsing, I gave them the key, and we just showed up and played. And I will tell you, the word chemistry isn't just something you learn in high school. When you meet people, either you got it or you don't.
Sure.
That's in music, at work, in love, in hate. Either there's chemistry or there isn't. And there was. And it since we started, we've done over 50 shows, headlining rock festivals in Czech Republic, Canada, all over the place. It's grown into quite a thing. Now, I'm not leaving Kiss. We're doing great. We're having a great time playing stadiums and arenas, blah, blah, blah. But this Gene Simmons Band thing has become, cut and grown a life of its own. So even, you know, the fans that show up, you got to remember the word fan comes from the word fanatic. Mm-hmm. And so we get a chance to play stuff that Kiss will never play, stuff off the solo records. And we've got a 44-year history, obscure stuff off of The Elder. I mean, stuff the fans have been clamoring for
That's cool.
That Kiss can't play. I don't mean physically. I mean, when you got 10 to 50,000 people at a concert, they want to hear what they know.
There's expectations. Yeah, yeah.
Well, absolutely. Sure. If I go see the Stones, I want to hear Satisfaction.
Right.
When they play, you know, when they play something obscure off of a 1995 record, you know, the audience sits down, except for the diehards. So the folks who come to see the Gene Simmons Band are diehards, and they want, you know, special stuff, and that's what we do.
I love that.
The other thing is people can YouTube it, go on YouTube, and you'll see how we invite folks up on the stage, kids who play instruments and sing, and then the whole audience, as much as we can get on the stage, join us to sing I Love It Loud and Do You Love Me and even Rock and Roll All Night, anywhere from 60 to 100 people, so that you can video it, send it to your friends, and all that. So, I mean, the bottom line is we have a ball.
Yeah, it's an experience. I love that you do that, and I love that you bring whoever wants to come up, musicians, singers, whoever, to experience that with you. I think that's what makes the concerts that you've been doing so unique and
really
so special.
Really talented young folk who, you don't have to bring a guitar. We have extra guitars.
That's great.
You can go on YouTube and plug in 13-year-old drummer joins Kiss for Nothing to Lose. I'm sorry, joins Gene Simmons Band for Nothing to Lose.
Yeah.
And it'll blow you away. There's a 15-year-old chick guitar player who gets up on stage with us and just blows everybody away. Unbelievable.
That's
the
awesome.
Talent that's out there. Yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And here we are, Gene, 45 years later. I mean, a legacy that has lasted nearly five decades. And, you know, I read one of your books about when you got inspired to do all this and get into music, and it was all about seeing the Beatles on Sullivan for you, wasn't it?
Yeah, that changed my life because, you know, I wasn't born in America, and I always felt like an outsider. And all of a sudden, you see these guys on TV cooking like Roth, who all, you know, all of a sudden they didn't sound American.
Yeah,
they sounded like they came from someplace else, and it somehow connected with me, and I felt not so different. You know, originally in those days, I spoke with an accent, and so I thought, well, this isn't such a bad job. You get to play, have a good time, the chicks like you, and maybe you'll get paid. Maybe I don't have to. I mean, eventually I became a teacher in sixth grade and all kinds of other wacky stuff, but the band thing started right away, and within a year and a half of starting, by 1975, we're playing Anaheim Stadium in California.
It's crazy. I mean, you know, the first band was the Missing Links, and then Long Island Sound's Rising Sun. Wicked Lester, you know, really did lay the groundwork for something even bigger. I mean, that was really what moved the needle, I think, right?
Yes, Wicked Lester was the previous band Paul and I had. We actually had a recording contract with Epic Records. And you know what? We just didn't believe it. They say don't look a gift horse in the mouth that comes from the Trojan War. You can look it up, kids.
Yeah.
And we decided, I mean, hindsight's 20/20. We looked at each other and said, you know what? We don't believe in this. And we literally walked out of the band that we started because it just didn't tug at the heartstrings. It just didn't feel authentic. And we decided to put together the band we never saw on stage, a band that didn't have any rules, that didn't try to look or sound like any other band. And here we are today, more gold records than any American band in history, in all categories, I might add.
Yeah.
You know, the Greeks, because I studied Greek philosophy and all that, they said something that actually resonates. To thine own self be true. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
You know, when you're running a race, don't look over your shoulder to see what anybody else is doing. Just do the best you can. Just look straight forward and just run your race.
And I mean, you guys were playing, but you also, you know, you said you were teaching. You know, you did what every aspiring musician did, and you still made a living. You still had a bunch of side jobs at the time that you were doing until you had the opportunity to record a demo tape. And was it at Hendrix Studios? Is that what I read?
Yes, Electric Lady Studios. That's right. We'd done some background vocals for a session. They call it session work, and got a little bit of cash, and instead of taking the cash, got free studio time, and that gave us a chance to do some demos. to make a long story short, you know, there's no journey that you can repeat and figure out. Everybody's got to figure out for themselves. You know, there are a lot of different roads that lead to the top of the mountain. And also, you know, I keep writing books about business and stuff like that. People want it shorthand. They say, what are the 10 rules of success? Mm. There are none.
No, it's hard work.
There are no rules to success. You can share the, you know, the age-old adage, which is the harder I work, the luckier I get. And that's about all you get. The rest of it is just having the right thing at the right place at the right time and a lot of work.
A lot of work, yeah. Yeah, there is no good guy. But you are an entrepreneur. I mean, really, in everything that you've done in music and movies and restaurants and all kinds of stuff. I mean, this is really who you are. And I think that's how your brain has always worked. As you said, you know, you didn't take the money. You took the next step that
was
going
to... You've got to think about the idea. The money will take care of itself, but you got to think of the big idea and then make it work.
Yeah.
I mean, as I'm talking to you, this month in 1,000 7-Eleven stores in Southern California, my sodas called Money Bag Sodas debut. They will soon ramp up to 10,000 stores, and then I intend to take them around the world to 66,000 stores. But that also includes Rock World, my trademarked business model that's going to bring T-shirts and hats into 7-Elevens. They've never sold that stuff before. So there's a lot of exciting stuff going on. But at the end of the day, I've met people who can't sleep at night. My advice is always work harder during the day. I mean, if you're exhausted, you won't have any problem going to sleep.
That's very true. I like that. That's very true. That's very true. And you guys did that, just that. You know, you're mentioning, you know, you were signed by a record label. You signed by Epic, then you were dropped by Epic, and you were determined to make this album. And as you said, you know, you didn't see the band on stage that you wanted to see, and you really had a new vision. You and Paul Stanley really had a new vision for really what you wanted to do, to bring music and theater really to the stage.
Yeah, but, you know, it really stemmed from seeing the bands that I loved hearing on the radio, the Love and Spoonful and, the, you know, and everybody. And when you go to see them live, you're looking around going, really? That's it? I mean, there was even a guy named Donovan who put out some decent records that I liked. He used to sit cross-legged on a Persian carpet with incense, bare feet, strumming an acoustic guitar. And I'm thinking, I'm paying full ticket price for that? That's where the term get out of here comes from.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Yeah, get out
and
of
so
here.
So we always wanted to give everybody more. So if you just think to yourself for a second, Paul McCartney, one of the finest of the finest, and Garth Brooks, and even wrestlers, all of that stuff. When you see fireworks going on, where do you think that came from? Men Without Hats? That's an obscure band from Canada.
No, I know. From the 80s, yes. Yeah, that's awesome. And, you know, releasing Alive, did you know that was going to be the album when you guys put that together, that was going to be the album?
We didn't know anything. In those days, nobody released live records until your career was over.
Right, that's right.
And you certainly didn't release a double album before you had your first gold album. But we've always thrown caution to the wind, as the saying goes, and dove into the deep end of the pool and just go for it. You know, you're going to have one chance in life. Go for it. If you're going to lose gloriously.
That's right. But that's how you learn, too.
What doesn't kill you.
Yeah, it makes you stronger. You're absolutely right. How'd you deal with the fame and continue really to deal with the fame? Because, you know, you've never, you know, a lot of musicians, and we know the story, a lot of musicians got into booze or got into drugs. It's not something that was ever crossing your path. But what have you done to stay relatively, you know, grounded in all of this back then and now?
Well, I have a secret weapon, and it's my mother, who had a horrible childhood. She grew up during World War II, and actually, when she was 14, she was in the concentration camps of Nazi Germany. And the wisdom that she gave me as a child continues today. You know, I mean, if you only have 24 hours of life on Earth, what are you going to do? You're going to watch Pokemon reruns, or you're going to get out there and
live life.
Yeah, live it. Eat good, love good, work hard, and then you die. Because, by the way, we're all going to get our turn. But while you're alive, I mean, roll up your sleeves and go for it.
Yeah, that's what I think keeps people going. You got to keep doing what you love, right?
And when you stop, your body starts to die.
Yeah.
When water stops moving, it starts to get stale and disease-ridden. It's only if your heart keeps pumping, you'll stay alive and you'll be healthy. You'll sleep good. As soon as you sit around, you'll start to get fat and you will die.
I think you're right. Well, and you've done exactly that. I mean, you've found new ways and new interests over your lifetime just to keep your brain going a little bit. And I love what you just put out, the vault, kind of looking back a little bit. But I mean, this is the box set of box sets for anybody who loves any band. There's nothing like this box set. It's called The Vault. What made you, really dig deep and pull all that together? Because, I mean, this band's 50 years.
I've been planning it for 10 years. I'm an only child, so I've had a lot of time to think for myself. And I collected me, Star Wars fans and Marvel Comics fans. I'm a Gene Simmons fan. I know it sounds like, what? But so I've saved everything.
Yeah.
And along the years, through the years, I've always written tunes. But very few of them wound up on Kiss records because many of them, well, we've always had more songs that we needed, for one thing. And the other thing is I tried different forms of music, R&B, soul, even semi-country stuff that sounded Eagle-ish, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I always wanted to play the drums and the bass and the guitar and sing all the backgrounds, kind of what McCartney did. So it was a creative outlet for me. And the GeneSimmonsVault.com box set is literally the largest, most comprehensive box set ever released.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to wait until I'm dead for somebody to release something called posthumous. It means he's dead.
Yeah.
But here we found some lost tracks. I want to be here. Why would you throw a party and not be in it?
Yeah, I love that. That's so true. That's so true. And this box set, I mean, it does that. And the fact that you got to control it, too, I mean, that's another thing. You're right. When
people have no idea that it's literally over 3 feet tall, weighs 40 pounds, got metal hardware and stuff. And inside, over the last music that's, 50 years old, all the way to 2016.
Yeah.
Along the way, I've co-written songs with Bob Dylan, three of them that are on the box set. The Van Halen brothers and I in 1978 came up for three tracks. Joe Perry,
yeah.
Is on a track. All the Kiss guys. Paul and John and Ringo, and see what I did there. See, that was a joke.
Mm-hmm, I like that.
Yeah. So everybody's on the record, and it's a chance for me to kind of. Why would you want to leave anything in the attic? You know, there are a lot of houses where they take the blanket out and put it on the lawn, and they stick all this stuff that they've had stored up in the attic. Well, it's kind of the idea. If you leave it up in the attic, nobody will get to see it, and you have a chance to share some of the fun.
We are talking to Gene Simmons from Kiss, and there's more when we come back on 720 WGN.
full of sin. In the end, you let me in. You let me through, there's nothing you can do. You need my loving, don't you know it's true? So have to please get on your knees. There are no bills, there are no fees. Baby, I know what your problem is. The first step of the cure is a kiss. So call me
Dr. Love.
They call me Dr. Love.
They call me Dr. Love.
I am your doctor of love.
Call me Dr. Love.
What was it like, Gene, looking back at or listening to some of these songs, even from 5 decades ago? I mean, did you say... Did it surprise you on how good some of these songs were and bring in like a new appreciation for some of it?
Yeah, I liked a lot of it because during the time we all get trapped by what we're supposed to do. And if you take a step back, you know, because if you're a metal fan, it's supposed to be metal. If you're a pop fan and something's too heavy, well, that's too heavy. And if you step outside of the genre thing, mm-hmm. and just look at it as pure songwriting, I was surprised by some of it, which I had some I haven't heard for 30 or 40 years, and you get fresh ears, so you get a chance for some perspective. I was quite impressed with it, actually.
That's cool. Yeah, that's cool. The Vault is so much about your songwriting. Who were the songwriters that had the biggest influence on you?
Well, outside of... you know, Tin Pan Alley, Gershwin, people like that. Irving Berlin, who was a little Jewish guy who came from mm-hmm. Germany, mm-hmm. who couldn't speak English very well, but had a musical mind, little short guy, and changed his name to Berlin, which is where he came from, because people couldn't pronounce his last name. Mm-hmm. This guy goes to the Beverly Hills Hotel and writes White Christmas. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
Yeah.
And Charlie Chaplin, you know, the clown and the silent yep. movie star, he wrote Smile. Smile, though your heart is aching. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
So when you take a look at, I don't know if it's a miracle or some blessing, whatever, but songs just sort of appear. One second they're not there, and then all of a sudden they become real. It's really like magic. I don't know how else to describe it. And... when I was a kid, I used to think, oh, surely every song that's possible has been written. But no.
I don't think so. Yeah.
I even have a master class where I teach people how to pick up an instrument, any instrument, simple chords, and you can make up your own melody and your own lyrics.
Yeah, I think it's cool that that you know, people I think would expect you to say, you know, more rock and roll, you know, from the rock and roll genre from the 50s or the 60s, but it was pretty diverse, your influences. That's pretty cool.
Well, you know, you think of the Beatles and you think Chuck Berry and Motown, but sure enough, on the first record they had A Taste of Honey, A Taste Sweeter Than Wine, and they also did Stephen Sondheim, and, you know, kind of like Broadway musical stuff.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
There are no rules. If you wind up just being, you know, somebody who follows the rules, you're a lemming.
Yeah.
The idea of rock and roll first started out is there are no rules. You didn't even have to learn how to read or write music. You just make it happen. Just sort of stream of consciousness.
When you sit down and write a song, what is different from when you did it decades ago to today? Because you're still writing.
Actually, Ace called me a short time ago, and he wanted to know if I had any ideas because he's doing another solo record. And I had two that I started working on. One is Your Wish Is My Command, and the other one is Without You, I'm Nothing. And both tracks turned out well, actually, and Ace is going to use them in his new solo record. But how or when these ideas come from, I have no idea. You sit down, yeah. And I mean, it's people who write books. Put in the time, don't wait for inspiration to hit you, just shut the phones off, which sounds like a curse, right? Shut the phones off. Sit in front of your, whatever it is you're doing, if you're a painter, a writer, a creator of something, and put in the time, go to work, even if you're not inspired. And things happen. Some good, some bad, but you got to put in the time.
Yep, you got to figure it out. You've seen a lot of changes in the music industry. You've said, and I know you've said this, and I've heard this from other you know, rock legends that, you know, rock and roll is essentially dead, or at least the impact of rock and the bands.
It's dead, all right. Yeah. And it, the only ones to blame are the fans who stopped paying for the music.
Yeah.
So now new bands today, my heart goes out to them. I mean, it breaks my heart to say that if you're a new band, you're just not going to be able to take the time. You're not going to be able to take the time to to devote to your stuff because, hey, people are downloading it.
That's true.
So, you know, look, from 1958 until 1988, you had the Beatles and Elvis, Motown and Madonna, and Prince and Louis, you know, Metallica, and on and on and on. From 1988 until today, that's another 30 years, who's the new Beatles?
Yeah. Yeah, you really can't nail it down. It's a little too poppy.
Well, you can't name one.
No.
Even Foo Fighters is an old band. They've been around over 20 years.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely true. Before I let you go, I know you're busy working on a book. You've got this new book imprint, Simmons Books, and you're going to be releasing something, 27, The Legend and the Mythology of the 27 Club, exploring how people from different walks of life, including Jimi Hendrix and Jim Morrison, Kurt Cobain, Amy Winehouse, all died at the age of 27. Tell me a little bit about that.
I mean, even Avicii, this talented guy who's part of the EDM movement, electronic music, just turned 28 and died.
Yeah.
Very bizarre. Going all the way back to the 1800s, the Elephant Man died when he was 27.
Wow.
Something very strange going on, and the book delves into that.
Wow, very cool. And with all the other things
Hendrix, Jim Morrison, Janis Joplin, Mama Cat, Kurt Cobain, Amy Winehouse, you just go on and on and on. If they're going to die, why 27?
Yeah. Yeah, very interesting to look into that. Looking forward to reading that as well. And with all the things you have going on, Gene, is the stage where you enjoy being most?
Where do I enjoy being most?
Yeah, is the stage.
Wherever I am.
But the stage has got to still be one of your first loves.
Well, sure, you get, but they're all different pleasures. You know, being on the stage is doesn't equal anything. And then seeing our kids growing up, that's totally different than the stage, and having the Gene Simmons Band and the Rock and Blues Restaurant scene and the book company and the comic book company, they're all different pleasures. And you literally don't have enough time for me to run through my other stuff.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, the stage is where you're going to be on Thursday, May 3rd at the Arcata Theater. For tickets, visit ArcataLive.com. For more on the Vault box set, you can visit GeneSimmons.com. And if you can't get enough of rock legends Kiss, you can visit KissOnline.com. Gene, a thrill talking to you. Thanks for taking the time and looking forward to seeing you in Chicago, pal.
Thank you, boss.
Thank you. All right, it's 720 WGN.
Sun, you can't look up to anyone without heroes. And a world without heroes is like a never-ending race. It's like a time without a place, a pointless thing devoid of grace. Where you